Welcome back to the O Yishnai Mikra Project and our study of Parshat Vayeshev. This is Menachem Liptag. In today's shir, we study Chamishi, the fifth Aliyah, beginning with Perek Lametet, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 39, verse 1. Yosef urad mitzrayma. Yosef was taken down to Egypt. Vayikneu Potiphar Sris Paro. He was bought from the caravan of Yishmaelim, who had purchased him from the Midianim. Now that he was brought down to Egypt, they sell him in the slave market. He was purchased by one of Paro's chief officers, whose name was Potiphar. He was a minister, Sarah Tabachim. There's an argument among the different commentators what position he had. Rashi explains that he was the chief butcher for the king. The Tabach is a butcher or a chef. The other explanation that the Targum brings is that he was the chief executioner for the king, and it's not animals that he was killing, but rather was political prisoners sentenced to death by King Pharaoh. Either way, he was a very important man in Paro's government. He was an Ish Mitzri. This doesn't mean he was just an Egyptian, but as we mentioned before, Ish means an important person. Therefore, he was an important Egyptian official. Miyad ha-Yishmaelim asher horidu hushama. Potiphar purchased Yosef from the caravan of Yishmaelim, who brought him down there. Recall at the end of Perek Lamed Zayin, it stated that the Medanim sold him to Egypt, to Potiphar, and here it says he was sold by the Yishmaelim. Some commentators say it's the same group. Based on our explanation from our previous year, that the function of the Yishmaelim in this transaction was only the shipping company. The people who actually made the profit were the Midianim because they sold him to the Ishmaelim. But the Ishmaelim only transported him to Egypt. The transaction was only completed when Potiphar purchased Yosef from the Ishmaelim, who obviously took a shipping fee, but technically speaking, the sale was done by the Midianim. But the opening Pasuk simply gives us background to what's going to happen now. Pasuk Bet. Vayi Adonai et Yosef. God was with Yosef. Vayi Ish Matzliach. He became a very successful man. Vayhi beveit Adonav haMitzri, as a servant in a very important official's house. Vayar Adonav ki Adonai ito, his master saw that God was with him. V'chol asher hu oseh Adonai matzliach biyodo, in everything that Yosef was doing, he was very successful. And because of this consistent ability to succeed and get the job done, Yosef is given more and more responsibility. V'imtza Yosef chen beinav v'sharet oto, Yosef found favor in his master's eyes, and he served him. Therefore, Potiphar put Yosef in charge of his entire household, and everything that he had his hand in, he put Yosef in charge of. And from the time that he put Yosef in charge of everything in his house, and in charge of everything that he had, God had put a blessing on the house of this Egyptian because of Yosef. And this blessing from God came to everything that Potiphar had, not only in his household, but also in his field. Notice how, from Pasuk to Pasuk, Potiphar becomes more and more successful, and this is all due to Yosef's presence in his home. Pasuk Vav, Ve'azov kol asher lo b'yad Yosef. He left everything he had in the hand of Yosef. V'lo yada ito me'uma, kim ha'lechem asher ochel. He did not get involved in any details of what was going on. The only thing he cared about was his own food that he was eating. Not only was Yosef in charge of everything, Yosef was also very handsome and very good looking, and that's going to set the stage for what's going to happen in tomorrow's Aliyah, when Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Yosef. This description of Yosef as Yifetor Vifei Mareh is obviously a flashback to the description of his mother Rachel back in Parshat Vayetze, and we're going to find another example where being handsome or pretty is not necessarily going to make life any easier or more enjoyable, but rather make it more challenging and difficult. As today's Aliyah is very short, I'd like to dedicate a few minutes to continue our study of the topic of who sold Yosef and how it affects the events that transpire later on in Sefer Bereshit. We're going to see that Yosef and the house of Potiphar became very important and very influential, and you would think that a person of his stature working in the house of such an important official would be able to send a letter, send a message back to his family in Hebron and tell them that he's alive and everything is well. One of the big questions that come up, and many commentators talk about it, especially the Ramban, is the famous question, why does Yosef write home? From what we just read in today's Aliyah, it definitely seems as though he had the ability to send a letter. He's running the household and the business of one of the most influential people in Egypt. Surely he'd be able to send a note or a letter or send some type of a message, in some way contact his family. But clearly he never does that. The Ramban suggests that this was all because Yosef was aware of his dreams, and for some reason, he knew that he had to sit and wait in Egypt. He was not allowed to identify himself or make any contact with his family until they came to him. And this was all part of some understanding that Yosef had because of his dreams. the Barbanel and many other commentators ask a very difficult question on the Ramban. How does someone's dream, which is only a dream, Yosef does not know yet that it's prophetic, and even if it was a prophecy, what right does that prophecy give him to cause his father and family so much agony and pain? He suggests that Yosef's entire approach is waiting to see if the brothers did tshuva, if they repented, and only if they'd done proper repentance, then he would go back and contact his family. This question becomes only more difficult when later in the story, when he becomes Tzafnat Paneach, and one of the most important people, if not the most important person in Egypt, aside from Paro, then certainly he has the ability to contact his family. And during the 7 years of plenty, then for sure he had many opportunities to contact his family. From the fact that he didn't, seems to imply Yosef has no desire at all to make any contact with his family. And then the question is, why does Yosef cut himself off and not make any attempt to see how his father is doing or how his brothers are doing? The simplest answer is simply because Yosef, when he was sold, was a teenager. And it could be that his father loved him a lot, but we don't know how much Yosef loved his father. On top of that, his father was already an old man when he was sold, and he was only getting older. Yosef may have logically assumed that his father was going to die soon, if he didn't die already. His brothers, he'd have no interest in going back to see. But it could be that just to see Binyamin was not worth all the agony that he would have to face to go back to his brothers. And therefore, he would have no reason to go back and reestablish his relationship with them. There's another possibility, which relates to his dreams. Ramban bases his explanation on the understanding that Yosef was remembering his dreams all along, and it was because of his dreams that he did not write home. I'd like to suggest an opposite approach, and this is based on an article by Rabbi Yoel ben Nun in the first volume of Megadim, that after Yosef was taken and sold as a slave, he totally forgot his dreams. In other words, he saw that his dreams were not coming true. He wasn't the leader of the family. Instead, he was sold into slavery. And even though he had these dreams when he was young, he reached the conclusion that those dreams were simply dreams, and he has no future in the family of Yaakov. That should not surprise him, because there were many precedents beforehand where the father's favorite son was rejected and the other children were chosen. It's clear that Avram had a very close relationship with Ishmael. Nonetheless, God told Avram Avinu, send Ishmael away, and Yitzchak is your only chosen son. In a similar manner, Yitzchak definitely favored Esav. Nonetheless, prophecy decided that it would be Yaakov who would be the chosen son, and Esav was sent away, even though Yitzchak was very fond of him. If we take that pattern one more generation, here again we see that Yaakov was very fond of Yosef, but even though Yaakov was his favorite son, Yosef may have assumed that just like beforehand, prophecy had decided that he is now rejected, he's sent away from the land of Canaan, and he's no longer part of the chosen family. Therefore, these 20 years when Yosef is in Egypt, both serving Potiphar and later being in jail and later becoming a big shot and running Egypt, during that entire time, he knows that God is with him, but he doesn't realize that he's the chosen son or that he remains part of the chosen family. If his understanding of prophecy at this point is that he is unchosen, and the fact that his mother Rachel died only supports that, and he may even also be aware that Leah was buried in Maariv HaMakpelah and not his mother Rachel, I think it's safe to assume that Yosef in Egypt understands his position as totally cut off from Yaakov Avinu's family. He accepts it, and he continues to lead his life fearing God, but realizing he's not part of the chosen family. All that changes some 20 years later when the brothers come down to buy food, and sure enough, 10 of his brothers bow down to him. When he sees his brothers bowing down, their Chumash tells us, then he remembers his dreams. That's in the beginning of chapter 42 in Parshat Miketz, in Perek Mem Bet. What I'd like to suggest is when he remembers his dreams, it's because beforehand he had forgotten them. He was sure that he was unchosen. Now that it just so happens, his 10 brothers bow down to him, he says, wow, that's exactly the dream I had when I was just 17. This must mean that I am chosen, and I am part of the family, and not only I'm part of the family, if 11 stars bow down to me, that means all the children are chosen, and it's my job to be the leader. And that understanding of the dream now as being prophetic and not just a dream is what is going to motivate Yosef in his entire behavior with his brothers once they come down. In other words, once it becomes clear to Yosef that his dream was indeed prophecy, he's able to interpret that dream, especially now that he has much more experience in interpreting dreams. He understands the deeper meaning of that dream, which is that all 12 children of Yaakov are chosen, not just the children of Rachel, and not just the children of Leah, but all the children, including the children of Bilhah and Zilpah. And among these 12 children who are now all chosen, and hence the Bechira process is over, and the beginnings of the nation are starting to form, now it's important that there be a leader. Yosef interprets the meaning of the dream is that God is telling him that you are the leader of the family, you have to stand up straight, and you're in charge to bring this family together. Therefore, when he remembers his dream, his primary goal becomes to unite the family and bring them together, all the different things he does to his brothers is going to be part of a very long process where he wants to help his brothers redeem themselves, and through a very complicated plan, he tries to unify the family, giving them a chance to redeem themselves and putting themselves in a position where they're going to be willing to give up their own lives for the sake of Binyamin, and by doing so, they'll be able to show themselves that they've changed and they truly regret what they did to their brother some 20 years back. Again, that topic requires a much more detailed shir to show that approach through all the psukim in Parshat Miketz and Vayigash, but as today's aliyah was very short, I wanted to demonstrate how our explanation of who sold Yosef, as we studied in the first three aliyot, affects what happens later on in Sefer Breshit. In tomorrow's shir, when we study Shishi, we'll return to the story of Yosef and Potiphar's wife.